And for everyone else listening, Seb, do your thing.
I'm gonna do my thing. It's hit the subscribe button, like the video, hit the bell, leave a positive comment. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say that. I mean, we like constructive criticism. Retweet our announcement tweets. Make sure to follow us on SoundCloud. I don't know what else is there. Welcome to another episode of Talking Kotlin, everyone. My name is still Seb. I'm still one of your hosts, and I'm still here with my good co-host, Hadi. How are you?
I'm good, Seb. Look what I got. Look, you see that?
That's a phone.
It's the weather.
And it's the weather report.
It's the weather. It's the weather report where I am.
Yeah, it's again, yeah, it does seem to be the most important part of the show. Can you, for our listeners, can you maybe...
Do you think we should stop? I mean, should we stop doing the whole weather thing?
No.
Should we talk about something else? Should we talk about...
What, Kotlin?
What?
No.
No. Let's talk about politics. Let's start every show talking about politics.
Okay, Hadi.
I'm sure that will go over very well.
Mm-hmm, yeah, okay, Hadi. So, no, but in fact, we actually, our guests just before the show talked to us, and they said that it's one of their favorite segments in the whole show is when we talk about the weather, which is kind of worrying. I just want to welcome Ole and Gregor to the show, who are both senior engineers at Zalando and who are also leaders of the Kotlin Guild. Hey, everyone. How are you guys doing?
Great.
All right. So you already said it's kind of surreal, you know, as a previous listener of the show now coming on and, you know, actually having, you know, Hadi say his things and me say my things. And the best thing is you also get to talk to us about the weather. How is the weather in Berlin?
Yeah, the weather is great. Right now, we have the start of the fall, and sometimes it's getting colder, but there are also warm days. And right now, I'm looking outside the window. It's a really warm day, so I'm enjoying to go out the balcony after the show is finished, enjoy one of the last warm days, hopefully not the last one. But the summer was really too short, too cold. It's a strange year this time. How about you, Ole?
Yeah, I mean, I also enjoy that we have a beautiful fall. But I also wanted to say, I don't think the weather part is the most important part.
Most important part is when we tell our listeners and viewers to like and subscribe. But that's a whole different story.
So wait a minute, you both live in Berlin?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, because the way that you asked, Ole, how is the weather there? I felt like is that how Berlin is? Like there's parts that it rains, there's parts that it's...
It's that big, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But today, I think there's no rain in all of Berlin.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I've been to Berlin a few times, and I really like it. You have a bunch of good craft beer places there, don't you, in Berlin?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many craft breweries we have, but I mean, at least 5-6 that are also like famous beyond Berlin for sure. So it's a trend that's not just at the West Coast, but also really has arrived here, I have to say. And I'm a big fan of that trend.
Oh, well, that's good, because it would have been very awkward if you would have responded and say, I don't know, I don't drink beer. That would have killed the conversation, and we would have to go back to the weather or talk about, I don't know, Kotlin. Oh, yeah, but oh my God. Oh, that's right. I've got three Germans on the call. I am not going to make any jokes about Germans. Yeah.
We were waiting until you discovered this.
Seb, yeah. What did you do to me? What have I ever done to you, Seb?
Maybe this is the secret takeover.
Okay, anyway, let's get started.
Yeah, you have a question. You have a question for these gentlemen?
Yes, I have a question. You introduced them as a Kotlin Guild. What is the Kotlin Guild?
So what is a Kotlin Guild? When talking about guilds, people often think of what the Spotify thing describes, that you have these tribes and these guilds, and they are somehow meshed together. So no, I would not describe guild this way. So in Zalando, everyone is working in a, I would say, normal team. But since Zalando is very big. We have over 1,000 engineers, people who are interested in Kotlin or something else. They are usually not in the same team. They want to share knowledge, and they then get together if one of the Kotlin developers decides to do so. So this is nothing that your manager tells you. Now look for other Kotlin developers that that you could share knowledge with. But rather, some people just thought, let's get together, talk about Kotlin. And then they found a guild. A guild is really just, it can be just a meeting once a week or once a month. And then it's really up to the guild what they want to do. Some guilds, they just have a chat. So we all use a Google chat. And that's pretty much what every guild has. You can ask questions there, get answers. And what is also pretty common is to have a regular meeting, usually once a month. That's also what we do for the Kotlin Guild. And then beyond that, it is really up to you. So we talk about new libraries, stuff like coroutines, stuff that is maybe a little bit more complicated and people really like that we share knowledge. And that is what we mainly do.
So for folks that are not familiar with ever having bought clothes or shoes or sunglasses online, what does Zalando do? Okay, did you get what I just did there? Okay, never mind. No.
How does one even answer that after that question?
That was a rhetorical question.
Yeah, what does Zalando do? That's actually a very good question. And Zalando actually started selling shoes, and a lot of people are still thinking about, you can buy shoes. But over the years, Zalando has actually
from Zalando. Grown. Sorry, they're from Zalando.
Very good.
Yeah, so Zalando has actually grown pretty big. We have 45 million active customers now, and we are in 23 countries in Europe. So it is more than shoes. It's clothing. We have beauty. That's basically it. So we're still a retailer.
And are you going to have ZWS at any point?
ZWS?
No. Zalando Web Services, kind of like how Amazon started selling books and became a cloud provider.
I think it's worth saying that Zalando is also active with their own logistics. So there's not just like the web shop, but there's also logistics. So self-operated warehouses with warehouse management software and so on. So that's also like a really big part of the engineering efforts that Zalando does.
Sounds like you folks really have come a long way from the, just screaming at a package advertisements that are still burnt into my brain from way back when.
Yeah, it was, definitely a quick ride. And Zalando is even going to be part of the German stock index, the DAX, soon. So, growth was pretty phenomenal.
So any insider trade information that we could share with all our listeners and we should buy stock?
I guess entering the DAX is not an inside information, but I think it's a positive signal in itself, right?
Just a little, as a little bit of extra information, maybe before we continue diving deeper into kind of how your Kotlin guild is structured, I would actually be interested in what kind of problems it is that you solve at Zalando using Kotlin and related technologies, so that we have something to anchor all of this to.
So in terms of problems, so there's definitely also the Android and front end parts, but both Gregor and me, we work in the back end path, so we're probably not the best people to ask about this. But my department, which is the logistics department, mainly uses it for is microservices, and those are like JVM based, nearly all of them, and Kotlin plays a very big role there. So many of them are at least partially in Kotlin or fully done in Kotlin.
And what frameworks is it, the microservices?
So in general, teams can choose, but Spring is pretty dominant.
Okay, because I did see a reference on Ktor at some point. Is that true?
So Ktor is being used. There's quite some fans, and I could see it maybe growing, but at the moment, it's more, it doesn't play a big role yet.
Okay, let's cut that part about that. We'll just stick it to the has some fans, and then we'll beep the rest out.
But I think you have to see this like a little historically, because the JV languages were used for a very long time. So many, many services are already built in Spring, and there's like custom libraries that integrate with Zalando infrastructure and Spring very, very well. So just staying with that and moving to Kotlin is just the easier choice for many teams. So it's not necessarily a fully technical decision.
Well, I think maybe as a direct follow up, when you say moving to Kotlin, can you maybe elaborate a little bit on when and why that decision was made also to move towards Kotlin?
I guess I should go a little back there. So the thing is, Zalando has a tech radar, so which is generally has the idea to like standardize on some of the technologies being used. So in this case, it's programming language and wouldn't be frameworks, for example. Kotlin recently was added to this tech radar as one of the adopt languages, which means it really has like internal support and everybody can freely use it and all these kinds of things. And that happened over the course, I think, of the last like 2 years. So there were already like a lot of people within Zalando that were using Kotlin or really wanted to use Kotlin and were pushing it for it to be like officially supported by the company. And that was something that the Kotlin Guild did and achieved. So I think Gregor had the date of the very first adoptions of Kotlin. So it's longer, but it now has like a very big status throughout the company because people wanted it to use it.
So I have a follow-up question to that as well. Is how do you convince a back-end developer to use Kotlin? Because, and to give you some context, right, before Google officially supported Kotlin and then made it the preferred language, you know, it was a time of Java 6. Many folks wanted lambdas. Many folks wanted features that Kotlin had that wasn't available in Android. So it was relatively an easy sell, right? How do you do that for backend developers? Or even if you could give us examples of what aspects of Kotlin grasp their attention to say, hey, we want to use Kotlin.
Yeah, I can answer that. In 2018, when I joined Zalando, my team was using Java, and I had used Kotlin in my previous job, but only for a couple of months. And since I had gotten used to Kotlin, I did not want to go back. So I actually tried to sell Kotlin to my new team. And at the time, we were not so strict about the tech radar. So it was basically me convincing the team and the engineering manager. And so I compiled a couple of slides together. I think the sticking points were the null safety, which I think is one of the most important things in my daily life that is helping, data classes, and a couple more things. And there were some team members that were really easy to convince because they liked trying out new things. So I first talked to them. After that, I paired with the other team members who were a little bit more cautious. And then we started converting a single Java file with the built-in functionality in IntelliJ. And of course, it was not perfect because, I mean, it tries its best, but it already gave an aha moment to the team members. They were seeing, okay, that's how it looks in Kotlin. It's not so much different. And then I was telling them about what they would gain when they actually buy into Kotlin, that now they see if something can be null. You don't have to look around in IntelliJ to find where stuff is used. And from there on, it was actually pretty easy. And then we converted the first service. I actually did a big chunk because I was the experienced Kotlin developer, but not everything. And then the team gradually converted the rest of the service. Yeah, so it was a microservice.
I think usually it's really an easy sell. I mean, one of the last bits missing was the official support within the company, but since we have that, it's more difficult to convince Scala developers to maybe move to Kotlin. Java developers was always like an easy sell.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is interesting because I think depending on the teams and depending on what their goals are, you see a lot of people building hybrid solutions that mix Java and Kotlin, or you have people re-implementing everything from scratch in Kotlin, or while converting existing services. What kind of is your goal for like within the microservices? Are you planning to keep those in a single language, or do you have some services that are going to be mixed Java and Kotlin, maybe for historical reasons?
I would usually recommend to have a shorter migration period because it can be confusing if the service is not too big, but you're still having multiple languages. A different story is with the Android code base because that is a lot bigger. And there they have adopted the policy of writing all the new code in Kotlin, but not converting everything. But since I have not worked with the Android code base myself, this is just the experience that other guild members have shared.
I mean, personally, I would say I don't see a big push to only use Kotlin libraries. I think the interoperability is just like really great. So you could have like your whole code base in Kotlin, but still use a lot of Java-based libraries. But also here in general, I mean, it's kind of something up to the teams. I mean, however they prefer it. And my personal experience would be most teams would like to go pure Kotlin in terms of the self-made code.
So just as a short follow-up so that I have a little bit of an idea of your ecosystem, you already mentioned Java and Scala. Are there other languages that you also have microservices written in?
These are the dominant languages in JVM, but Python is also very popular. And Go is very popular in the infrastructure part. So I'm working in builder infrastructure, which is providing support for the other teams, like Ole's team. And in builder infrastructure, Go is very popular. So that is kind of the ecosystem. And of course, JavaScript is front end. It's JavaScript and also TypeScript, which has also been promoted to adopt at the same time as Kotlin was.
So let's go back to some of the features that you talked about, how they're an easy sell. And I like to talk about nullability, especially in a code base that you said, you know, that there was a lot of existing Java code. How well did you embrace nullability in the sense of, did folks try and now shy away from nullable types, or was it, you know, just, well, let's interop with nullable types and just cover the happy paths, right? And when something could potentially be null, I'll put a double hash bang and exclamation mark, and you know, hopefully things are okay.
That is kind of how I converted my first two classes in Java, and then it got really ugly. And then I started thinking about what I actually want to do. And it turned out that it is actually time well spent to figure out if something can be null. And then I learned about late init and how you can actually express that something should not be null. And I got rid of almost all of these double exclamation marks because they look really ugly and you actually don't gain anything. The code looks worse than it looked before in Java. And so I was really strict in the code I converted, and I have not seen it otherwise. Ole, maybe you have some other experiences there.
I also really like the nullability concept, also really in terms of error handling. So what my team very often does is to use a nullable type, for example, in an HTTP client to instead of an exception, right? So null indicates that something went wrong. So using the full power of it, I think is great. And it's definitely one of the strengths of Kotlin compared to Java.
So as a quick follow-up to that, I believe in recent versions of Kotlin, we've now opened up the result type. Which kind of allows you to also do this kind of error handling, right, where it's either a value or an exception. Is that something that you're also already embracing now on top of nullability there?
Last time I tried, you couldn't return a result from a function.
Okay, you should try again, because that has changed, I believe, in Kotlin 1.4. I don't want to say the wrong thing, but somewhere in the lifespan of Kotlin 1.4, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Someone after 1.0.
Oh, yeah, that's about the time scale.
It must have been rather recently. No, I mean, like, I think it's great. So it also really plays well with the functional programming styles that you can do in Kotlin. So it's great. Yeah, I mean, we were trying to adopt it in my team, but then got stuck there. So it's great to hear that we actually really should try again. And also, like, really with if you have like asynchronous calls, you can I think it's called then map something which produces a result multiple. So yeah, it's a great library feature for sure.
So talking about functional programming, is that something that's been attractive to folks that have been doing Java?
From my own experience, I really liked the functional part, and I was bothered in Java that an if statement is not an expression, stuff like that. So that I really like, also the map and let stuff. But if you're talking more about the advanced functional usage like Arrow library, I've been shying away from that because that somehow contradicts the Kotlin theme of making it very easy and simple to understand. And if you're going Arrow and lenses and stuff like that, then I usually don't get it, I have to say.
Okay,
fair enough.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say that's fair enough.
What are you cloning me now?
Yeah, I am. I am closely observing your mannerisms so that when you are no longer on the show, I can emulate you perfectly.
Wow,
that's right. Yeah, don't worry. Well,
maybe you can have a deep fake.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're gonna do. I'll be both of us. Deep fake.
I mean,
Hadi.
If you're gonna do a deep fake, you might as well duplicate me. Looking like me, then I'm just saying, I'm meant to be the pretty face here, okay?
Yeah, yeah, maybe that has already happened.
Yeah, right?
Alles gut then.
you said there's some advanced topics that in functional programming where you say it might be a little bit of a mental overhead. So now I'm just wondering how your teams like decide between, for example, choosing Scala, which leans much more heavily into the functional aspect, versus Kotlin, for example. Do you want to elaborate just a little bit on that?
In the team where I introduced Kotlin, they were using Java, and they have already heard about other teams using Scala because that was really popular at that time. And they had already decided that Scala was too complicated for them, and they didn't get anything, or basically nothing, in return. When I introduced Kotlin, they were first, of course, comparing, is he now trying to sell us something that is as complicated as Scala? And of course, that was easy to convince, because Kotlin is so similar to Java. You don't have to give up a lot of stuff because Kotlin is more compatible. You can still use your libraries. You're not kind of forced into doing everything different now. You can use if as an expression if you want to, but you can still use it as a statement. So you don't have to buy into all the functional constructs at once. The story is different for the developers who did go into Scala. For them, I would say there are two types. The one type is really happy with Scala because they have embraced all the idioms of Scala, particularly the functional ones, and they are not very likely to switch to Kotlin in the near future. But there are other team members, maybe they have even joined later, they did not decide to go to Scala, or it was not as good as they thought initially, and they want to have something simpler. So this is a reason why some teams have actually switched from Scala to Kotlin.
Looking at this, right, when you first have in whatever a service written in whatever language, you need to somehow probably approach these people and somehow give them the idea of, hey, maybe you want to write it in Kotlin. And is how does that usually go? How does the actual convincing process go? Is that something that you folks in the guild are kind of trying to push with internal tech talk, something like that? Do you throw Jake Wharton's white paper at their head and then just hope that they will be converted and they will have an aha moment? Or you just sneak a Kotlin file into their project and hope they won't notice? What's the approach there?
I think I would really state here again that it's not so much of a convincing of forcing people to do something, right? I mean, so we have the tech radar and everything that's on it. People are really free to choose. It is rather really that Kotlin was just convincing by itself to many people. And so you mentioned it was like kind of making presentations, internal talks. I mean, these things for sure help. And then just also seeing the adoptions maybe in teams close to them, gaining some experience when switching teams. But it's really more about making it attractive and keeping it supported than telling people to please use it because we want Zalando to migrate to it or something like that. So it's really a bottom up thing.
Yeah, there is no policy in Zalando that some manager has decided now we want to move to a single JVM language, for example. But what we did do is we tried to reduce the overall number of languages and also of JVM languages. And before, we also had teams using something more exotic, like Clojure. Some developers really loved Clojure, and others could not work with the code. And that was really a problem. And one of the things that Zalando does is that you can switch to another team. So not just for a week, but if you are wondering, should I spend my next 2 years still at Zalando because I've already spent 3 years here, then you can just go to another team and you can have a totally different experience. Because I mean, maybe before you were working in logistics like Ole, but later you're working in builder infrastructure, taking care of the Kubernetes environment.
Poor you.
Or what?
I said poor you, having to take care of Kubernetes.
That's actually a quite exciting topic, but that's another topic. Yeah, I'm not working in the Kubernetes one, so feel free to continue your rant there. Yeah, what I wanted to say is that if there are too many languages in the company, then this is really a lot harder to do. The strategy of Zalando is to have fewer languages, and there are now five adopt languages, the three JVM languages, plus Python, Go, and JavaScript. No, that's actually six. I cannot count. Okay.
Well, off by one error is one of the classic problems, right? So.
Happens.
So just kind of to wrap up maybe a little bit, the big statement that we always make around Kotlin is that we try to build it as a language that makes developers happier. Would you say that's a goal that Kotlin has reached inside Zalando?
For me, for sure, and for quite some of my colleagues as well. So I mean, there's like a I don't want to go back mentality, for sure. Yeah, I can definitely say so.
Well, of course, we're living in kind of the Kotlin bubble because we're meeting with the Kotlin Guild every month. But we have already gotten feedback from recruiters that Kotlin is actually really helping in recruiting. So this is kind of the other signal that that I'm getting.
Yeah, I was going to actually ask if if you're hiring people for Kotlin and if Kotlin is an enticing factor for folks to join.
Definitely, yes.
So where can people go to find the your job openings, for example?
Oh, it's on our corporate page. There you can find all the openings and also some with Kotlin.
All right, wonderful. We'll make sure to put those in the show notes as well then for people. Are you folks also kind of contributing to the open source environment? Do you folks have any like open source Kotlin libraries that you're building at Zalando?
So Zalando generally has quite some open source. So there's a GitHub account for Zalando open source. And the ones that are So there's like, I know there's a Fabricati. What it generates okay HTTP stubs from OpenAPI, and that's like, for example, fully in Kotlin. That might be the only one of the open source projects so far fully in Kotlin.
No, you had one on the show already, if you remember. It was Zelli. Do you remember?
Yes, I do. Yes, that was before. That was the time when it was just me, Seb, you know, the boring time when it was just me and the weather. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually worked in the team for some time that is maintaining Zelli. It was after the folks who joined last time. That is one of the big ones.
For the people who haven't seen that episode yet, what is Zelli?
It is a linter for a REST API. The short story is that Zalando is using REST APIs a lot. And to avoid common pitfalls, we have created some guidelines called the Zalando RESTful API guidelines. And the linter makes sure that you're not accidentally breaking one of those rules.
Oh, I can already see Hadi grin, because I know REST has a big place in Hadi's heart.
Yeah, no, but I'm going to counteract that with something really, really positive. So I've actually come up with a brilliant idea. Okay, now bear with me a second. The whole, you know, write Kotlin, be happy developers, right? I've got a song, right? Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So I just came up with the lyrics. Listen, here's a little song I wrote. You may want to sing it note for note. Do Kotlin, be happy. In every life, you have some nulls, but when you do Kotlin, you may have none. Do Kotlin, be happy.
Be happy.
We should be happy now. Right? We should totally do this.
Okay. Once again, new intro song. I love it.
Yes. Thank you for the idea. That's brilliant. Yeah. Here's the irony. I hate that song. Like that Don't Worry, Be Happy. It's like one of those songs that it's like, Never Gonna Give You Up of Rick Astley for me when people put that.
That's also a good song.
but it works. I can say, like, Gregor was joining one of the Kotlin Guild meetings saying, I have to get my endorphins higher. I have to do some more Kotlin.
There you go.
So it definitely makes him happy. Yeah. And me as well. Yeah.
Now we just need Forrester to do some research for us that says developer happiness leads to more money. That's what we need to do.
That seems like a good idea.
At least to retention. I mean, retention is a good thing already.
You know, there's companies that are like, oh, you want to go? Fine. I'll just hire some interns that are cheaper.
Yeah. How does that work out for them?
We don't have to worry about all these grades and junior, senior, you know, super senior developer. You're out. Next. Right. So anything you want to say before we wrap up the show? Any shout outs? Any good resources that you want to point out that people that are interested in doing server-side development may want to pick up on?
So we did compile a little blog post on the Zalando engineering blog, which kind of outlines in more detail than we discussed it today, which kind of technologies we are using, at least at that time. It has already maybe changed a little. So that could be interesting if you're building microservices and are interested what are common things we use.
Cool. Then thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been really nice chatting to you. I think we've learned a lot of interesting insights. Maybe we should found a Kotlin guild inside JetBrains. Oh wait, that's just a 100-person engineering team. I think we already have that. All right. Thanks so much for coming on the show, guys. I hope you had fun.
Yeah,
definitely. Sure. Yes, a lot.
Really, thank you for having us. I think it's a really great initiative. I mean, watching the podcast or the YouTube show now for a while, and it's a great resource for sure to learn what other people are doing. So keep up the good work.
Yeah. Thanks, folks.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Where's your bellbin? I thought you had that repaired.
It broke. No. It broke. Oh, okay. But hey, I do have hand sanitizer. This is a new one, by the way.
All right. It doesn't jingle, but
I'll tell you the story about these two. I'm going to soon resume my travels. And before I used to pack everything the night before, now I buy hand sanitizers 3 weeks ahead of time. So yeah, this is what one and a half years of no travel does to you. Damn. But anyway.
All right. With that, we're going to sign off. See you in the next one, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.